Thanks for joining us, Senator. I understand you are on your way to Southern Oregon for fire briefings. What are your thoughts on the current fire season and any factors behind what some people are considering one of the driest and most volatile seasons ever?
Children and seniors in the West shouldn't have to be afraid of opening the front door and choking on smoke. And already the fire experts are telling us, well, you can go here, you can go there in order to find some clean air. And it seems to me when you have clean air refugees on your hands, you're on your way to a public health crisis. Now, one development this week, we expect to hear from Vicki Christensen, the head of the Forest Service. At my request, she's putting together an outline of the next steps in terms of fighting these fires. And it seems to me it's got to start with having priorities of going in there and cleaning out the most dangerous areas, the areas where there's the largest amount of hazardous fuel buildup.
As we know, wildfires are having impacts on many sectors. Last week, you collaborated with Governor Brown and Senator Merkley in asking federal officials to make some of the $12 billion promised to American farmers in trade war relief also available to Oregon farmers devastated by recent wildfires. What can you tell Oregonians about that request, and when do you expect a response from the Secretary of Agriculture?
This is a hugely important matter. Wheat is something like a $180 million crop for our state, and so much of what we do depends on trade. What we like to do is grow things here, make things here, add value to them here, and then ship them somewhere. Pretty hard to do that when your farmers are getting clobbered with these fires. So I and Senator Merkley and Governor Brown, we're going to pull out all the stops, and it seems to me this is the kind of funding that ought to be available for our farmers, and we need it right away.
While assistance for natural disasters is a bit different, we've heard reports of farmers around the country who would prefer to continue selling their product as they've done for years with established business relationships over taking what they might consider a handout as part of that $12 billion promised to American farmers. Have you heard from farmers in Oregon and their thoughts on the tariffs and the aid package?
I talk to Oregon farmers, and as I say, we do a lot of things well in our state, but what we do best is grow things. They are much more interested in long-term trade than they are in short-term aid. And I'm one who has said the president has had a valid point, for example, in terms of tackling the Chinese when they rip off our technology and rip off our jobs. But to have a daily dose of chaos with respect to these trade policies and particularly end up not being with the allies who we need to help us come together to fight these Chinese practices that rip us off doesn't make any sense.
In the past week, the idea of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russian officials ramped up. As we know, President Trump just wrapped up what he called a, quote, very successful summit with Putin in Helsinki. And the White House says Trump's open to receiving an official invitation to visit Russia and President Putin, and he wants President Putin to come here. He said perhaps next year. Should they be meeting quite so much, or should the President of the United States be meeting at all directly with Vladimir Putin right now?
First of all, what we saw recently was the president standing next to Vladimir Putin and, in effect, parroting back the lies from Mr. Putin is something I never thought I would see. And remember, the president's own intelligence people, these are not some liberal groups that don't like the president. The president's own intelligence people have said that the Russians meddled in our election, and to quote Dan Coats, the head of national intelligence, there is a red light blinking now. Now, I'm on the intelligence committees. I can't get into any classified matters, but what I have focused on the committee speaks right to what went on in Helsinki, and that is we've got to do more to follow the money. And following the money is counterintelligence 101. Much of Bob Mueller's staff is made up of real crackerjacks in terms of financial fraud. There is no question, apropos of this meeting before the election in the summer of 2016, that Donald Trump Jr. had the intent to collude. And I'm characterizing it exactly that way because that is what you get out of his email where he said, oh, I'd love to get the dirt, that kind of thing.
Okay, well, seeing as how you are on the Senate Intelligence Committee, do you have any concerns about the midterm elections that are coming up and possibly being influenced from outside forces, namely Russian influences?
I very much am concerned about the upcoming election, and I want your listeners to know that I think nothing is more important now than having paper ballots, every American getting a paper ballot. I've introduced legislation that would really be my longer-term solution, and that is taking Oregon's vote by mail national. But what I want to see is paper ballots for every election, and I want to make sure that there are post-election audits. In other words, after the election, you go back and kind of look at your cyber hygiene and should you have done this, should you have done that. Those are the two reforms that my bill focuses on, and the overwhelming number of experts in the cybersecurity field, those two things will make the biggest difference in terms of our election security.
Okay, turning our attention to the Supreme Court, recently you were instrumental in helping to scuttle the nomination of Ryan Bounds to the Ninth Circuit Federal Appeals Court. How are you feeling about the vetting and progress of Trump's pick of Brett Kavanaugh to be the next Supreme Court judge, and how do you see this nomination playing out?
It's still very early in the process, and Senator Merkley and I felt very strongly about the Senate rejecting the Bounds nomination because he misled our bipartisan judicial selection committee. And specifically, he talked, for example, about his interest in tolerance and diversity in high school because he thought that reflected well on him. But he didn't, and the committee said again and again, are there any embarrassing things that we ought to know about? He didn't tell the committee about these really ugly, intolerant articles that he wrote in college, and they were offensive to a number of conservative Republicans as well. Now, with respect to the Kavanaugh nomination, I think to a great extent this is a referendum on whether the country is going to go backward on health care. Senator Cantwell and I had a press conference on Friday at the Oregon Health Sciences Center to talk about the fact that the Trump administration wants to get rid of the protections that Oregonians and Americans have against discrimination if they have a pre-existing condition like cancer or asthma or diabetes or something like that. And when you look at Kavanaugh's comments, he has certainly not been sympathetic to the Affordable Care Act, and I'm concerned about his past statements on matters relating to Roe versus Wade, the extraordinarily important decision that ensures that women, not the government, make decisions with respect to reproductive health and abortion.
Are there any other messages you'd like to get out to Oregonians while you're here on this stop?
Well, I am very troubled about where this set of fire events are headed, because you think about what they're dealing with in Southern Oregon. You think about what they're dealing with in Redding, California. You think about what's happening in Colorado. I really want to say to folks in the West this morning, I feel so strongly that kids and seniors in our part of the country should not have to be fearful about opening the front door and choking on smoke. So I'm really going to take that Vicki Christensen report that we ought to have here very shortly and do everything I can so that we don't have a public health crisis and you have clean air refugees across the West just looking for those places where they can get some clean air.
Okay. Thanks for joining us this
morning,
Senator.
Me.